Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson, and I'd like to welcome you to He Speaks Erotica, the podcast where I talk about relationships, love, sex, and everything under the umbrella, all from my perspective. And as always, you know, I gotta say thank you to everyone who listens to this podcast and who supports. Now, when it comes to sex, everybody have their own different regret. Maybe your regret may have been you was too adventurous or not adventurous enough and maybe got caught. Whatever the reason for your actions, do you look at it and do you regret ever doing it? Also, my question tonight is your partner quiet quitting you without you realizing? So please, do me a favor. Go ahead, sit back, relax, chill, do whatever it is that you do. And I'll be right back with the question tonight. So the question tonight is your partner quiet quitting you without you realizing? Now, when we think of someone quitting a relationship, we typically imagine, you know, the dramatic breakup, complete with, you know, heated arguments or the exchanging of parting words. However, it is possible for your partner to quietly disengage from the relationship without you even knowing. And this is what is known as quiet quitting. If you notice your partner gradually withdrawing from intimacy or shared activities, it may be a sign that they just want to end the relationship. They may also express, you know, dissatisfaction with you or the relationship in general. And to me, that's kind of like a punk way. All you got to do is say, I don't want to be bothered. I'm not interested. You don't do it for me no more. I'm not turned on by you. Someone else has taken your place. Someone else is occupying the space that you once had in my head. That's all you gotta say. But people rather play games and, you know, go out their way not to say nothing to you. Go out their way not to lay down with you. You know, make it seem like you're the problem. Like you're the big issue. I'm the issue. If everything that's what's wrong with this relationship or this marriage is me. Say, look, we done had a good run, but it's over with. And just end it. You don't have to play the game. What quiet quitting is and why is it harmful? When one person in a relationship quietly quits, it can have harmful consequences. This is because without effective communication, the other person is left unaware what has changed and why. And as a result, they may continue to invest time and effort into the relationship while the other person has already moved on. So you got someone who is constantly trying to make things better, trying to build the relationship, putting in crazy energy to satisfy your ass, but mentally, emotionally, and probably physically and sexually, you done tapped out. You just waiting for your escape plan or your moment to get away. Now, being a man of a certain age, we used to call this, man, I'm leaving. Or, he just ain't doing it for me. Simple. We didn't have the terms ghosting and quiet quitting. But we're in a new era. We're in a new generation. So you have to pretty much get with the times and what everybody's saying and doing. But yeah, when you ghost someone or when you quiet quit someone, it's the same thing. It's just parting ways. But like I said, some people, you know, choose a very I call it punk. You know, they're not man enough or woman enough to say, you know what, this is it for me. And it's sad when you got someone who's working their tail off to try to make things better. You don't give a damn. And you will stand there and watch them put all that effort and work into something that you know you don't want to be a part of. And that's foul. That is extremely foul. And I don't know why people do that. But I'm not going to sit here and say I haven't to a degree, you know, done something similar. But for the most part, I'm saying, you know what? This ain't going to work. You know what I'm saying? I may not have given reasons all the time, but I put it out there, I'm dissatisfied. And then it's like, once you say, hey, I'm done, I want to move on, that's when the person who you're trying to lead wants to put in that so-called energy or that effort that was missing. So it's two people who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Effective communication. Because if you tell me, hey, I'm slacking, or I need to pick up and turn it up a little bit, then I'm supposed to receive that communication because you're making it known. You're speaking what's on your heart. Now, if you continue speaking and if I continue not to do it, then that's the problem. But you don't quiet your quit. Say, look, now I don't talk to you two times. You don't get a third time with me. If I gotta talk to you three times about the same problem, it's a huge problem. And it's a problem I'm not gonna deal with, or I'm not gonna address anymore. Because I've said it twice. And you don't want to have to keep talking, especially to the person that you love. You don't want to have to keep saying, look, I need you to do this. I need you, girl, look, you know what I'm saying? My needs ain't being met. Old girl at the job said, you know, oh, you want to fuck old girl at the job? Yeah, because you fucking me. So if she's giving me that time, then she's giving me that, making my brother feel good, and guess what? I might have to turn my attentions elsewhere because I'm in a relationship with you and you're not hearing me. That's how you handle leaving the relationship. All that being sneaky and quiet, quitting and ghosting, that's a punk way. That's a sucker duck way. Be a man. Be a woman. Stand up and say, look here, I gots to go. Anyway, as a result, that person may continue to invest time and effort into the relationship while the other person has already moved on, and this leads to a feeling of betrayal, resentment, and confusion. Now, if I'm telling you, hey, now, okay, if you just up and do it, yeah, you're going to be confused, you're going to feel betrayed, you're going to resent that person. But if you're making it known, if you're having conversations, if you like going to counseling, and the shit still exists, you shouldn't feel that. You shouldn't feel confused. You shouldn't feel any resentment. You shouldn't feel betrayal because I've addressed it. There are many reasons why someone might quietly quit a relationship. Unhappiness, going through the motion, they feel like they're not being heard, or maybe they met someone and they feel like slowly they need to withdraw from the first relationship because I'm not getting nothing out of it. It's draining. But whatever the reason is, it's important to communicate directly with your partner if you're considering quitting the relationship. Otherwise, you risk causing them unnecessary pain. Signs your partner is quiet quitting. When two people are in a relationship and they're usually open with each other, but sometimes one person starts to quiet quit. This is when they start to disconnect from the relationship without explanation, And here's some signs. They're suddenly too busy and don't have time for you. Two, they're not interested in your life and what's going on with you. They start picking fights over small things. They will withdraw emotionally and physically and sexually from you. They stop doing the things that made them happy in the relationship. The impact of quiet quitting on a relationship. The impact of quiet quitting on a relationship is both significant and far-reaching. This type of quitting where one person simply stops participating in the relationship without any explanation can be devastating to the other person and will create a feeling of abandonment and betrayal. And sometimes it leads to anger. In some cases, it leads to depression. It leads to depression and anxiety. How should you address quiet quitting? If you're concerned that your partner may be quiet quitting you, there's a few things you can do to address the issue. First, try opening up a dialogue with your partner about what's going on and why you're feeling this way. Why they're feeling this way. It's important to try to understand and try to be understanding and empathetic towards your partner's feelings. If they are, you know, receptive, then, you know, you can probably brainstorm and come up with a solution to improve the relationship. But that's only if they're willing to, you know, give you another chance or be open to giving you another chance. It is important to be aware of the signs of quiet quitting. As these signs are underlining relationship, it is important to be aware of the signs of quiet quitting your partner, as this can be a sign of underlying relationship problems. And if you're concerned that your partner may be quiet quitting on a relationship, it is important. It is vital that you talk about the concerns openly and honestly. Ultimately, quiet quitting is often a symptom of deeper issues other than the relationship that will need to be addressed. So if you feel like your partner is quiet quitting, say, look here, we got a problem. Now let's talk about it. And if they don't want to talk about it, then they're already gone, so just go ahead and let them be. And you try to, get on with your life and see if you can find someone who's going to treat you better. And on that note, I'll be right back with the topic. Biggest sex regret. Now, before I get into it, I have to give a little story about the time I had a regret. And it's kind of selfish on my part. What happened? I was out, you know, with some friends in the club, enjoying myself, and someone came up and asked me to dance. And, you know, I think we danced maybe. This is when the DJ constantly played old school hip hop, and back then I was 99, 2000, I was a hip hop head. You know, you couldn't put Biggie on and I wouldn't be on the dance floor. Sometimes I went out there by myself, and I think a lot of times dancing by myself got me a lot of interest. So this one lady walks up to me, asked me to dance, and she was able to, you know, match the energy that I had. Plus, I was buzzed up too. I had one of good, just got paid, drinks. You know what I'm saying? I got paid that weekend, so I was balling a little bit. You know? just hanging out with friends and we had a good time. Sat down and talked and got to know each other, and then she hit me with the, well, I'm 20 years older than you. Now, I don't know if it was alcohol, but maybe it was the makeup. Maybe it was the Maybelline or the Avon. I didn't see 20 years older, man. I think I was like, what, 30? I may have just turned 32, 33. So I was prime. You know what I'm saying? I was at the peak of my game. And like I said, I missed it. I didn't see her at that age. But when she took that makeup off, I mean, it still wasn't mid-50s, but, you know, you saw the difference. But I look beyond it because having a great time, went to the movies, went out to dinner, drove down to Savannah, just hung out, walked on the beach, and just really got to know each other, and our age difference wasn't an issue. And the sex, oh my God, that pool nanny, that old pool nanny, good lord. She put it on my ass. And that wasn't the issue. I mean, it was, everything about her was just perfect. And in my mind, I'm thinking, is this finally where I'm supposed to be? Because when I first moved to Atlanta, I was out of my brains. I was out of my mind. And my ex-wife did pretty much everything. Then I had to learn how to take care of a house and pay bills and, you know, manage money. But when I got with old girl, it was like she took that stick and just ran with it. She made sure everything was all right. My clothes, you know, was clean. It was, you know, she took them to the clean. She picked them up. You know, it wasn't that she didn't pay every time. You know, I said, look, I got it. You know, I appreciate you, but here. She took the money. It was no issue. She always brought back the change. I mean, it was just perfect. And I just kind of like kicked everybody to the curb. Because I was like, okay, she older, but she's what I need. She's going to help me get to what I need to get to. 9 months later, she was diagnosed with cancer. And as I saw her get sick, as I saw her go from 53 to 67, 68, and what I mean by that, she started aging. The sickness took over. And that's when she became an older woman to me. And it was hard. It was hard watching the person you love die before you. For 9 months, we had the perfect relationship. Now, was it the best relationship I had? No. But it's up there. It's in that top 5, top 10. Let me give it top 10. And I found myself regretting the fact that I got to know her, that I opened up my heart, that I pursued, that I let her pursue me, I pursued her, and let myself get into a relationship with someone who was dying. Selfish. That's all I can, you know, say. I was selfish. Here's a person who's dying, and I'm thinking, she's not going to be around to make me feel better. She's not going to be around to get my clothes out of the clinic. She's not going to be around to cook me something. First time I had a veggie patty, she cooked on the grill. She put some veggie patties, some salmon, some corn, had all the beer and liquor I needed. Just took care of me like I wanted to be taken care of. And 9 months later, she was diagnosed with cancer. And she died 3 months after that. We knew each other for a whole year. And I still had regrets. When she died, I was standing there, I'm like, why me? that I had to outgrow. Each day was different as far as trying to get past and, you know, not question God, but just wonder why I have somebody in my life and not have them. That shook me because I had just got divorced. So I'm like, okay, got divorced and messed around with a couple of chicks and, you know, they weren't hitting on nothing. Now I meet someone who is everything I want in a woman, and she's diagnosed with cancer and died a year later. And I'm regretting the fact that I met her. Selfish. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff about me that I won't say, because I know I have faults. I've outgrown most of them. You know, I've become a whole different person. But a lot of times when I tell a story, it brings out a side that people see that's hard to believe, or I don't want people to see. But that comes with growth. That comes with age. That comes with me being comfortable in my life to express and speak on who I am and who I was as a person. So that was that wasn't my biggest regrets, but because I carried on so bad about the situation, it was a huge regret for me. And I regret that I felt that way about her and her situation. Now, there's been some other regrets I've had where I've seen people in the club. And, you know, instead of walking my ass out, I turn back around, or I go to the restroom, and then if she's still standing out, he's over there and start talking. And whenever it was someone who I knew I should just kept walking out the door, I should have stuck with my first mind and not say nothing, it was always something with a situation. It was always a situation that was bad, or that didn't work in my favor, or cost me money, or my car got broken into. So yeah, I regret some of the motherfuckers. But to a degree. Because most of them, you know, they had that thing on them. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't that much of a regret, you know. Yeah, I took a loss on some things, but hey, that's life, shit, you know. You take a chance on people, you take a chance on things happening. Everything ain't gonna be, you know, problem free. So, yeah, I mean, there was a few of them. I should have kept moving. I should have just kept walking out the door and went to Crystal's and got me something to eat, or IHOP or Waffle House, and, you know, got me some breakfast and took my ass home instead of doing the obvious. Spending the night with somebody, waking up and like, now, where's the young lady who I came here with? Boy, I'm the student. It's me. I just took my stuff, my makeup off. Okay, but where your hair? That was a wig, boy. Stop. Okay. So, yeah, it was a few regrets. But everybody go through it. Everybody experienced some shit that, you know, like, I shouldn't. Even if it's good, even if it's good ass or bad ass, sometimes it's best not to get no ass. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's just, you gotta go with your first thought. If your first thought is not to go there, then don't go there. Don't second guess yourself. Especially when you got a little age, when you got a little wisdom on you, and you know something don't feel right or something don't look right, go ahead and follow that advice. You know, do yourself a favor and not get caught up in what you need or what you think you need or what you think you need to feel. Because it's going to be something that may cost you along down the line. So that's just my little advice. Anyway, moving on. When she was diagnosed with cancer, 3 months later, she died. That threw me for a loop. You know, that was like, whoa, life is real. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I had seen people pass and close family members, but to be in a relationship and to lose the love of my life, and no problems. We had no, as far as I can remember, we didn't have not one argument. She didn't get slick at the mouth. She didn't give me a reason to, you know, pop off or to get mad with her. Everything was just like a fairy tale. It was almost as you look at, as if you were looking for something to happen. And I'm not saying I did. I'm not saying I sat around like, okay, what's going to happen? Oh, she get kids. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when you got something just right and everything is aligned, when you're so used to having fucked up relationships, you just think automatically, why is this not fucked up? Everything else is fucked up. Anyway, why people have regrets. Sex is something that can be tricky to navigate. There's so many, you know, ways to do it, and everyone has their own preference. And that's why it's no surprise that there are people who may have regrets when they have sex. Maybe it was a bad experience, or maybe it was just something they didn't enjoy. Whatever the reason, sex regret is a real thing. It's something that people deal with. And if you're someone who has experienced sex regrets, know that you're not alone. There are others who are in the same boat with you. How can you deal with sex regrets? It's a question that we've asked ourselves at one point or another. Can we ever regret something as natural and pleasurable as sex? And the answer is, unfortunately, hell yeah. Whether it's because of poor judgment, a moment of weakness, or simply because we were caught up in the heat of the moment, there are plenty of ways we can end up regretting our sexual encounters. First step, how do we deal with the sex regret? The first step is to accept that it happens to everyone at some point, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person. If you're able to do that, then the next step is to learn from your mistakes and try to avoid making them again in the future. And if you're still struggling to come to terms with your sex regret, then it might be helpful to talk to someone about it. A counselor can help you work through your feelings and figure out what the fuck, if there's anything I can do to make this situation better. Help me out. What would you have done differently? Like I said a few minutes ago, I would have bypassed several chicks instead of, you know, getting that number, taking them home, going out my way, using my gas to take them behinds home, buying them something to eat, buying their kids. Buying their kids. This one chick cracked me with the, you not gonna get enough for my kids. They gotta get up for school. You gonna get with their mom. I'm like, hold. Don't blame me like that. Now, if you just need me to get something for the kids, just say that. Don't come at me like, because I'm about to fuck their mama, I gotta buy them something. No. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Now, if you want me to get them something, go ahead and order it. But don't play me like I'm Sammy Sucker up in here. You know what I mean? Even though I did pay for the food. But, you know, I think communication with the person is very important, you know? Ultimately, the best way to avoid regrets is to be present and mindful as possible during sex so you can enjoy the moment and make the most of it. What lessons have you learned from sex regrets? Personally, not to be selfish. Not to think everything revolves around what it is that I want and need in my life. And to think about others, even if it's someone else's kids. if you're dealing with them. How have your regrets changed your sex life for the better? Many people have had these regrets. Like, let me think of a good one. Not using protection. Now, maybe you had too much alcohol. You might have had a nice, you know, some good smoke. And you slept with someone you shouldn't have. So instead of dwelling on your regrets, try to improve and not get so drunk where you can't think, when you don't have you don't have all your marbles and you can make a sound judgment, not just sleep with someone because they look good and not wear a condom. That would be one of the best ways that you can, you know, change your sex life for the better, is to be more conscious of what you're doing. Because if you don't use protection and you realize that you fucked up, the next time you get into that type of situation, with you understanding the consequences, you're going to be more willing to put that condom on. Because you're going to realize, okay, I prevented a situation from happening. No, I almost, me not wearing the condom could have been a bad situation. Now that I understand that, okay, I can't get this fucked up, or I can't get caught up because she has a nice ass, I still got to put that condom on. I still got to make sure I protect myself and protect her, and not bring an unwanted child into this world or unwanted diseases to me and maybe my girlfriend who I might be dealing with, because I'm getting some on the side. So you got to look at this thing from a whole different point of view. You got to look at it across the board, because it not only affects you, it could affect someone else if you're dealing with that person. Because you got to remember, everyone makes mistakes. The important thing is to learn from them so that you can have a better, more enjoyable sex life in the future. To wrap this up, it's clear that people have lots of regrets when it comes to sex. Whether it's because of the person they slept with, the way they handled the situation, or the consequences that followed, there are plenty of things people wish they could have done over. The best way to avoid regrets is to be honest with yourself, your partner, communicate openly, and be respectful of each other's boundaries. And if you're able to do these things, you'll likely find that your sex life is more enjoyable and satisfying. And on that note, I'm going to end the podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening to the podcast. I keep saying it, I'm going to say it again. I don't know who is fucking with me, but I appreciate you. Do you know, within a week's time, from last Wednesday up until this Wednesday, almost 100 people have listened to the podcast? I don't think I've ever had a week like that. I have to go back and really look through different time periods. I don't know what it is. I don't know if because I ask people to share the podcast, or where the jump come from. Because I'm doing this organically. I mean, I can pay somebody to, you know, do it for me, but that's cheating. I don't want to do it like that. I want to see this thing grow from the bottom to the top. Start them at the bottom, now we're here. You know what I'm saying? Back then they didn't know me. Now they up on me. Mike Jones. But yo, good looking on that, man. Oh my God, thank you. That is appreciated. Hot, yo. Good looking. Anybody got anything they want me to talk about, hit me up at whenhespeaksrobotica@gmail.com. I'm open to any topic, suggestions. If there's something you want me to talk about, anything you want to you know, lay on me. And when I say lay on me, just hit me up and give me something. I don't mean lay on me like you trying to lay on me. But I'm just being silly, man. I'm just having a good week. Having a good, you know, week. Birthday coming up. Not really a birthday person, especially that I'm older. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's another day, you know. But I don't know. It's just I'm in a good place. Good place mentally. And doing this podcast has really helped because it shows that you're never too old to do anything you want to do. I know a lot of people be hating, talking about old people need to stay in their place. Trust me, I've been there. I used to, you know, trip off when older people would tell me stuff, but now that I'm older, you know, you have to find your lane, because if you feel sick and if you feel unhealthy and if you feel like life is passing you by, then guess what? You're going to be sick, you're going to be unhealthy, and life will pass you by. But if you have the energy to get up and be productive, I don't care if you just post something on social media, if you go and help somebody walk across the street, if you give a child some type of advice, that's a good feeling. And I think that's where I'm at. I like it. I like it. And I like doing this podcast. I feel myself getting better, you know what I'm saying? Continue to do it. So I want to thank everybody for listening, thank everybody for supporting, and thank everyone for fucking with me. And I hope that you come back and listen again and again, and keep them numbers, keep sharing them numbers, keep subscribing, keep, you know, letting your people know what's up, and take care of yourselves, and I'll talk to y'all later. Peace.